Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
I have an opportunity I'd like to take just for a few moments, I guess, for us. I mean, as a church, you know, we like to think holistically about life, and that might mean different things to different people, but for us, we like to take care of people in a physical sense, emotional, psychological, and as you would hope or imagine as a church, spiritually, who would have thought? But, you know, that's part of who we are as a church, and so we like to look after people in that way. And, you know, I guess if we were to think about what elements or what is it about life, what in life can actually bring us fulfillment, satisfaction, a sense of meaning, an understanding of why we're on this green and blue ball we call Earth. Now, that's a really good question. You know, there's all the fundamental basics that people should be entitled to, and that is, you know, clean water, protection, and just accommodation and shelter, all those basic human rights. You know, that's part of it, and that brings a measure of fulfillment and satisfaction. And then there's other things just as meaningful as relationships and love and friendship and the ability to be able to work and earn an income and care for ourselves. And even beyond that, more importantly, I think, is care for others around us. All of those things can bring meaning. And so, you know, as a church, we like to help people discover why it is they're on this green and blue ball. But also, as we said in the video, that, you know, a lot of people live and accumulate stuff, and we just, one of the fastest growing businesses throughout the 90s was the storage industry, that people were actually having to, you know, pay for storage because they were accumulating too much stuff. But we get more stuff, but it still doesn't meet the inner deep need of what we're actually searching for. And so for me, I think that if we were to take a look at the four quadrants that I've mentioned around physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual, for me, if one of those quadrants isn't healthy, then I guess for us, we can be living beneath the fullness of what life can truly be about. And so for a few minutes, I want us just to explore, if you would just bear with me for a few minutes, just explore this whole area of the spiritual quadrant of your life. Maybe you've got it switched on and it's all happening, and that's great. Maybe it's something you've never considered, or it's just been way back then when you were dragged to, you know, Sunday school, or somebody told you about it, and it's sort of somewhere in the, you know, back of the hard drive. You're drawing on something right now that's vaguely familiar. But no matter where you're at, I know that there are people in this room today that none of us are here by accident. Whether you were dragged kicking or screaming, or whether you came joyfully and wanting to celebrate with us, whichever end of the spectrum, well, I know you're here for a reason. And what I'm about to say may not be for everyone, but I believe at some point of your life, and I believe this is how God works, at some point of your life, what I'm about to say, if it's not relevant right now, will come back to you, and it's got nothing to do with me, but let me make it really clear that there's a loving, caring God that cares intimately about you, your life, your family, your business, your health, every aspect of your life. So if what I'm about to go on about right now doesn't kind of float your boat right now, I know at some point of your life, you're going to come back to this moment today. That's a big statement, but I believe it to be true. See, Linda Ellis, a poet, and one of the things I do outside of Compass, I don't work full-time for Compass, is I'm actually a celebrant, and I do a lot of funerals, which, you know, is an incredibly privileged space to be in. But Linda Ellis wrote a poem, and she wrote this. She said, "I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the coffin from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came his date of birth, and he spoke the following date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that person spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved him know what that little line is worth. For it matters not what we own, the cars, the house, the cash, but it matters most is how we live and love and how we spend our dash." I don't want to be morbid on a Sunday morning. Come on, this is a celebration, right? So, but my point is, I want you to think about your dash, and I want to think about life, because, you know, I grew up in a good, caring Christian home. I'm not just saying that because mum and dad are sitting on the front row. It's kind of, it wasn't perfect, trust me. But it was good. I can't complain. But, like, I know that their faith was, like, all good and well for them. But for me, it had to be my own personal thing. And I had to find out who this Jesus was and what this whole Christian thing was about. Looked into various things. But there were some things about the life of Jesus that stand out for me. And one of those things are that Jesus made these incredible statements about himself and about life itself. And that kind of grabbed my attention, because in one of the Gospels, the Gospel of John, in chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says these words. that there is a power, there's a force, there's an entity that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, speaking of himself, said, I've come that you would have life and life to the full. Now, those words grab my attention because I'm into living life. I'm not into half full, quarter full, three quarters full. I'm into kind of living life to the full. It's either all or nothing. So when I started to investigate the historical record of this guy, Jesus, and we have the Bible, and there's all the kind of historical evidence as to the validity of the Bible. So I'm not going to go into that or the historical validity of this guy named Jesus. But he was either a masterful illusionist, he was an incredible liar, or a flat-out lunatic, or he was who he said he was. I mean, C.S. Lewis kind of put it similarly in that way. And so as you begin to look at the life of Jesus, that statement where he says, but I have come that you would have life and life to the full, and the way to experience that life is through me, I've just gone, wow, this guy's either incredibly arrogant and he's full of himself, or he's actually the real deal. He walked on the planet. We can't debate or deny that. The reality is Jesus did walk. So was he who he said he was? And if he promises life and fulfillment, and through him, when he talks about life to the full, means that we find full satisfaction, contentment, meaning, purpose, the reason why we're on this green and blue ball we call Earth, then maybe that's worth thinking about. And so for me, I guess, as a church, we want to do the best we can to present this message of love and life that can come through Jesus Christ, and I believe only through Jesus Christ, in such a way that it becomes meaningful to you, and I guess as a community we want to live that out. So in terms of Jesus giving us that direction, or how does that actually work, I want you to bear with me for a minute. If you can imagine just where these white balloons are for a minute, that if this is perfect good, and over this side of the room, it's not just because of the principal's over this side of the room, does anyone still get nervous when you're around a principal? Oh, seriously, every time I see Miss Binion, I'm like, oh, did I do something wrong? I'm like... Oh, she is watching me too, I know. But over this side of the room, we've got like perfect good. So God's over here. There is no evil. There is nothing, you know, negative. It's just pure love, joy, peace. There is no evil over this side of the room. But if we were to go over this side of the room, and it's not because the politicians are over this side of the room either, right? Let's just be clear. I did not put these balloons here, by the way. I did not do that. I'm just saying that nothing to do, like, that we've got like... There is no good over this side of the room, okay? So this is just pure evil. It's just absolute hatred and anger and evil, absolute there, but absolute good. I want you to imagine, just a minute, there is a line that's drawn between there and here, just a continuum. And I want every one of us in this room to place yourself somewhere on this continuum. I want you to place yourself, like, if that's perfect and that's perfect evil, then where do you stand on this continuum? You know, some of you might just go, well, Phil, I'm not a bad bloke. You know, I kind of done for the most part, do the right thing, haven't done too much. I'm somewhere in the middle, you know, like others might go, Phil, like I'm pretty good. Oh, seriously, not bad at all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here, and let's be honest, if you think you're over here, it's called a Messiah complex. And we'll talk about that later, and I've got a friend over there that can help you with that. But, you know, so we're here. Or you might just go, Phil, you have no idea what's happened to me, what I've been involved in, what I've done. There's a lot of stuff that I'd actually place myself. One of us are going to put ourselves on this continuum somewhere. There's going to be a gap between where we stand and where God is. He is perfect in every way and perfectly good. And you see, that gap that separates us is those things that we go, well, I've done wrong. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard. So guess what? If you've done something wrong in your life, if you are not standing right where God is, you're in good company. We're a whole church filled with people just like that. And we're just trying to work it out, to work out how do we kind of build and connect our relationship with God. And see, the thing is, no matter where you stand, there's a gap. And the thing is that I want to ask you, what's on the other side of that gap for you? What is the need in your life right now that you just go, you know what, I'm here, life's okay, but maybe I struggle in the area of this in my life. Maybe relationships is a struggle for me. Maybe I just, everything I touch just falls apart, and it just, no matter what I try to, I just feel like a failure. And maybe there's stuff that you've done where you're just carrying guilt and shame, and you just feel so less than what you should, and you just go, well, that. Maybe I just don't live with peace. I don't sleep well at night. I suffer with anxiety or panic attacks. I have a mental health challenge, whatever it might be. But on the other side, I want to tell you that on the other side of from where you are to where it is your answer. Is your answer. That's where the peace is. That's where joy is. That's where meaning is. That's where purpose is. That's where real love, peace, contentment, direction, fulfillment, satisfaction is. That's where it is. And you see, the thing is that the Bible says that there is nothing that you and I can do that can bridge the gap between wherever we find ourselves on this continuum and where God is. It doesn't matter how smart you are. You can't work out a program, an app, or anything that's going to actually be able to bridge the gap. It doesn't matter what a great trading we've got a whole bunch that have done a good job in here. It doesn't matter how good you cannot build a bridge that's going to do it. You cannot have enough money to buy your way across that bridge. And see, this is where the crazy thing comes in, because that guy Jesus that I just mentioned before, this is where he comes into it. Because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So you go, hang on a sec. So to get where I am, if he's the way, the truth, the life, to get to there, I've got to go through Jesus. And the answer is yes. Well, how? Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. And that's where the Easter story comes in, right? Because that's when Jesus willingly gave his life. I believe that he was God himself. He came and he died, the perfect sacrifice, once and for all. So no more other sacrifices would need to be done. But one sacrifice was made once and for all, where he died on the cross and he paid the price to bridge the gap between wherever we are and wherever God is. And so it doesn't matter how bad I've been, it doesn't matter how good I've been, there's going to be a gap. But Jesus Christ, for every single one of us, has bridged the gap. And it's like there's nothing we have to do. There's nothing, it doesn't matter how good you are. The gooder and gooder you get, it's not going to bridge the gap because Jesus has done it all. And all he says is, hey, I offer you this gift of life, life to the full. Your introduction, your relationship with God through Jesus, and not only that, but the assurance, the promise of eternal life after this is done. And somebody asked me, Phil, why did Jesus do that? Why would Jesus have to die? Well, Jesus had to die to bridge the gap for humanity between where we are and where God is. So why did Jesus, but why would he do that? It's because of God's immense love for you and I. I don't know your experience of love. I don't know your experience of your dad, your father, your relationships, anything like that. But for me, yes, I am blessed with a great dad, but we didn't always see eye to eye. And I know he's in the room, so I should be careful what I say, right? We can check my story afterwards. But it wasn't until I found out about my dad's story about being an orphan sent from World War II and not having a dad and sent to Australia as a 12-year-old kid on a boat and landing in this country and having to make it for himself. He had never had a dad. He didn't know what it was like to be a dad. And suddenly he's a dad of six kids and I was the youngest of six. And they got it right by number six. Tried five times, went number six, we got it right, we can stop now. But you know, like my dad and I, but it wasn't until I began to understand my dad's story did I realize, wow, I understood where he's coming from. But so I don't know what your context is of father's love and dad's love and stuff, but I know that there's this heavenly father that loves you unconditionally. He knows the stuff where he is to where you are, and guess what? He still loves you anyway. He loves you so much. Just let me quickly just tell you three quick stories that Jesus told. It's not going to take long. Jesus told three stories on how he could describe the kind of love that God has for you and me. The first one is the lady had 10 coins, and in that day, that drachma coin related or signified represented a day's wages. She was poor, so a day's wages was a lot of money, especially in a community that operated out of a barter system. And so a lot of stuff happened that didn't require money, so when money was used, it was a big deal. She had 10 coins, and whether that was part of a headdress she would use for a dowry or around a belt as an ornament that was very, very special, she had her 10 coins that meant so much to her. Every day she polished them, laid them out on the table, and she would count them and just go, oh, my precious coins. I don't have anything in the world except for these 10 coins. One day she wakes up and she goes looking for a coin. She lays them out on the table, but there's only nine. She goes, hang on a sec, where's my coin gone? And she kind of looks around, looks under the table. It's not there. And she looks around the room and she's kind of like starting to get a little bit anxious. And she's looking, where's my coin? She goes out the front and she says to her neighbors, hey, have any of you guys seen my lost coin? And they go, no, we haven't seen your lost coin. She goes back in and she's getting flustered. She sweeps out her little unit and she's looking everywhere for it. She can't get it. In a moment of despair, she kind of like just goes, where's my coin? And the cat who's in the corner jumps up, startled, runs out, and the coin's underneath the cat. And she goes, my coin, I found my coin. How cool. She runs and she runs outside. She goes, hey guys, I found my coin. Let's have a party. Let's celebrate. I've got my coin. That's one story. The next one is about a farmer, a shepherd who had 100 sheep. Now, my dad was a shearer. So dad used to take us when we were kids out onto farms and we'd have to do work in the shearing sheds and do kind of like all that stuff. And I'm sure you agree with me, but sheep are dumb, right? I've never wanted to punch an animal in the head except for a sheep, but... No, the Bible talks about Jesus being the shepherd and we're the sheep, but I'm not going to go into that. But sheep are dumb. This guy had 100 sheep, and there's one of his sheep decides to wander off, and he counts his sheep every day. He's with the other shepherds. They put the sheep in, and that night he's checking. It's like, you know, we've got Michael, we've got Nat, we've got Holly, we've got Katie, we've got Eldon, we've got all these sheep that are there. And he gets to number 99, and he looks around, and little Johnny's missing. Where's Johnny? Counts again. He knows his sheep, and the sheep know him, and he's looking. Where's my sheep? Where's Johnny? Goes ask the other shepherds, hey, have you seen little Johnny? And they just go, no, mate, we haven't seen Johnny. He's a pain in the butt. Like, get rid of him. He's like, no, I've got to find Johnny. So he puts his 99 sheep there and he starts going out and he starts looking for his sheep. Johnny, where are you, Johnny? It's getting dark and the clouds are coming in. The wolves are howling and it's starting to get a little bit intense. And he's going, Johnny, where are you? Just when he's about to give up, he kind of yells out and he's like, Johnny. And he can just hear the faintest, bah. And he knows that's Johnny, right? So he starts going towards where the sound is. Johnny, bah, Johnny, bah. He's like, yes, I've found Johnny. Gets down to Johnny, and Johnny's got his leg stuck between two rocks, and all he has to do is just put his leg that way, and he'd get out, but he'd just keep pulling and pulling. And the shepherd bends down, pulls his leg out, picks him up. Johnny, bah, Johnny, bah. They're back together, puts the sheep on his shoulders, goes back and says, all the other shepherds, I've found Johnny. And they're like, oh, really? And they're like, yay, let's have a barbecue. Yeah, it's beef, not lamb, don't worry. And the last story Jesus tells is about a dad who's got two sons, and the dad's done very well, and he loves his son so much. And the youngest son thinks he's God's gift to the planet and women and everything, and he goes up to his dad and he just says, Dad, you know what, you're not dead, but I want my inheritance. Gee, thanks, son. But the dad goes, it's not wise, but you know what, I love you so much. If that's what you really want, that's what I'm going to do. So dad gives him his inheritance. And the Bible says that this guy goes off to the city a far way away, and he starts to live the so-called high life, sex, drugs, rock and rolls. And as long as he's got money, he's got friends. But when the money runs out, so do the friends. And so he finds himself in the end, goes from partying with his friends to having nothing and sitting in a pig pen, and he's serving up slops to the pigs. And in the culture and custom, a Jewish person being associated with Gentiles and then especially being associated with pigs was frowned upon. And so here he is actually feeding the pigs in the pig pen, and he's just going, what has my life come to? And he's thinking to himself, oh, even the servants in my dad's house don't get treated like this. They get square meals and accommodation, everything. And every day while he's away, his dad would look out through the gate, down the road, onto the horizon, just longing for his son to come home. I just wish my son would come home. His kid's in the pig pen. He's about to eat like just the leftovers of a corn cob. And he's just going, throws it in the ground. He just goes, you know what, if I can eat some humble pie and I can just go, Dad, I stuffed up. I'm so sorry. If I go home and I say sorry to Dad, can I just please come and be a servant in your house? Then, you know, maybe my dad might just let me be one of the servants. So he starts to make his way home. Every day, Dad is still looking out of the gate, down the road, onto the horizon, wanting his son to come home. The son's rehearsing his apology. Dad, I'm sorry, I stuffed up. I'm such an idiot. Like, I can't believe this. And will you forgive me? Can I be a son? He's gone over his kind of apology in his mind. He gets closer to home, and his heart starts beating because he knows he can see the homestead up on the hill now, and he's just getting closer and closer. And Dad is out there, and Dad can see this form start to take shape in the distance. And then he starts to see it get clearer, and he knows his son's walk, and he goes, that's my son. And he gets up out of his chair and he runs out down the path. He busts through the gate and the son is walking up. He stinks and he's just like, you know, an absolute mess. And the son is seeing his dad run at him. He doesn't know what's about to hit him. And dad gets closer and closer and he's sort of like just going, oh, what do I say? Hang on a sec. Dad, I'm sorry. And dad's like, son, don't worry about it. I love you. I'm just glad you're home. He who was lost has now been found. Come on home, let's clean you up, let's get a robe on you, let's put a ring back on your finger, let's get some shoes on your feet, son, and let's have a party, let's celebrate, we're going to have lamb. Johnny's gone. But Jesus told that story just to actually really emphasize, regardless of where we're at, that you know what, we are more precious than a coin, we are more meaningful than a lost sheep, but all of us in some way are a bit like the prodigal son. That at some point of our lives, because of the gap between where we are and God, has provided the way for us to reconnect with him. He gave his son Jesus so that we could come home and come into relationship with a loving father that just wants to embrace us and bring us back in. And that, my friend, is where you find real meaning. That's where you find satisfaction. That's where you find real love and peace that surpasses understanding. That's when the storms of life come your way and you've got Jesus in your boat. You go, you know what? All hell is breaking loose around me. It doesn't make sense, but you know what? It's going to be okay. And that's not a peace or a confidence that I can just self-generate from within me. That's something supernatural that God gives me, and he's with me, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his son, and he's committed to me, and he's not going to leave me or forsake me. And you can have that kind of relationship as well. And it's not about coming to church. It's not even about coming to this church. If you've got a church near you, we'll help you get connected. And maybe you want to start your own relationship like I'm talking about with God through what Jesus Christ has done. The best decision you could ever make. It's not about the cars, the house, the cash. It's what you do with what Jesus Christ did on the cross that would determine what you do with your life. Not just here, but for all eternity. Can we just pray just as we close? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every man, woman, and child in this room this morning. I thank you for your incredible grace, your kindness and favor to us that we don't deserve. That Jesus, you bridge the gap for every single one of us in this room. Regardless of where we stand on this continuum, you've done it all. So you've made the way for us to come into relationship with a perfect, loving, pure God. And that's where our peace is. That's where our meaning is. That's where our satisfaction is. That's where life and life to the full is. Just so whoever's in this room that can hear my voice this morning, Father, I don't know what part of this stuff might resonate, but I just ask you, Holy Spirit, right now to bring something alive in hearts here today. So supernaturally, it's all good and well to be impressed with music and lights and a nice building, but it's more about you, Jesus. It's more about the difference you can make in our lives, this community, this city, and the nations of the world. So I pray your blessing over the people here today. And I ask, Father, that this morning you would continue just to knock on the doors of hearts, make yourself known. And so just the heads bowed and eyes are closed, if you don't have that personal relationship with God through Jesus, after this is all said and done, you can come and have a chat to me, or maybe you want to just shoot us an email just via the website, whatever you're most comfortable with. Maybe you want to just come back over the next few weeks and suss it out a bit more and talk to a few more people. We've got a great course that we call Alpha, just the beginning, where you can learn more about this Christian faith and what I've been talking about.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.